Hey, it's Graham here from the Confident Man Project. And one of the best things I've done over the last 12 months to boost my own confidence is join a men's group. And I found it tremendously valuable. And the men's group that I've joined is part of a little network of groups springing up over the place. So I'm very keen today, tonight, to be talking to Brett Chernin, who's been involved in men's groups for a while, and hear some of his experiences, what he's got out of it, how he's been involved in kind of helping set this network up. So welcome, Brett.
Thanks, Graham. Great to be here.
Yeah, cool. So I want to rip straight in and hear, like, what is it that led you to be in a men's group? Like, what's your personal experience?
Probably maybe about 10, 12 years ago, a mate of mine, my best mate, we discovered David Deeter's book, The Way of the Superior Man. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, and it's not for everyone, but I guess it was the first time that we had really started to explore what it meant to be a man and how to relate as a man to a woman and what women are looking for in a man. And we were both struggling in relationships, so we were kind of grasping at anything that we could that would support us in relationships but also in life. And that kind of really started to – we just – as a result of that, we just started to explore this idea of like almost like a new idea. It's almost like it really was like it was like this big realization that being a man was very different to what we had actually ever thought that it really was.
Uh-huh.
And you know, like, it's like things were sort of really dawning on us all the time about who we were in the world as men versus who we thought we were, and who we were showing up in, how we were showing up in the world. So we just started to explore this idea of what it meant to be a man, what it means to be a man, what masculinity means, mm-hmm. and, you know, how to kind of, you know, explore and develop ourselves as men. So, you know, from that, we fell into a group run by Trevor Gray mm-hmm. about 10 years ago now, and it was called Trusting the Masculine. It was a very intense 12-week course.
Uh-huh.
We met. It was meant to be every couple of weeks, but we kind of condensed it and we did it every week. And I think there were like seven men there, and it was just he just took us on this journey that just blew my mind. Really, just you know, explored every nook and cranny of my manhood.
Uh-huh.
And you know, in some incredibly uncomfortable and confrontational ways, very physical work as well we were doing with each other. And it really was the first time that I had been, although I had male friends, it was really the first time that I'd been in a group of men who were really committed to exploring themselves and developing themselves as men. And it was just such a fundamental 12 weeks that kind of left us at the end feeling stronger and yet softer, clearer, sharper, far more powerful than we'd ever been. Uh-huh. And that just sort of then kind of started the ball rolling. A mate of mine knew that we had done this course, and he kind of just sort of said, look, you know, I'd love you guys to start up a men's group. And it just sort of started from there. Probably about 8 years ago, I kind of put the call out to, you know, a couple of men that I knew and a couple of men that I knew a lot less, but I thought would be interested. And, you know, we started our men's group. So it was probably about 8 years ago.
Okay, cool. So I'm hearing that that there was a whole bunch of guys all together doing this kind of work, and I'm curious as to it sounds as though it's important to have other men around. Like, is this something that a guy can just sort out by himself, or does he really need other men to help him sort it out?
Well, look, I'm sure there are some men who can sort it out by themselves. I know that I couldn't.
Right.
I know that, you know, my life was pretty good. I came from a great family, a loving family, but there were some really big gaps for me. And I think that, sure, you know, there are lots of paths to the same sort of destination, and I've done a lot of courses and a lot of weird, wonderful things, but I don't think there's anything as powerful as a regular gathering of men who are exploring themselves and exploring who they are in the world and who they want to be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can do it on your own, and you know, women can help as well and point out things in us. But I don't believe I think it's one of the most powerful vehicles for men to explore, you know, and to just discover and develop themselves. So you know, lots of fun.
Yeah, I guess I ask partly because my own experience is I've lived a lot of my life feeling that I had to sort everything out myself, had to be very individual, very self-contained. My experience of other men, I mean, they weren't men at the time. Well, they were growing into men when I was in high school, but my experience of other boys and other men in high school was not particularly conducive to me developing trust and feeling supported. And so I've ended up feeling like, oh, you know, I've got to go it alone against the world.
Yeah.
And then more recently, I'm discovering that there are a lot of limitations to living my life that way and actually having some support from other men that are willing to go the distance.
Yeah.
I'm finding tremendously valuable.
Well, you only got to look at the stats, Graham, in terms of young men. You know, like the biggest killer of men between the ages of 25 and 34 is at our own hands. Mm. Something's not right. Mm. Something is amiss with young men. And I think it probably starts – there's some great movements out there. There's great people doing fantastic work with young men and young boys, in fact. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably where it begins, is that we don't have any kind of – most of us don't have great role models as men. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people who had great relationships with their fathers, but I don't know if there were, you know, lots of men had incredibly inspiring relationships with their fathers where they were shown what it meant to be a man and, you know, a good, you know, a man who does good in the world. Uh-huh. You know, I think there's a missing in terms of rituals for young boys who are turning into, you know, who, you know, moving into manhood. Mm. You know, it's a very turbulent time for adolescents, and we're just kind of like, it's a messy, messy time for young boys. And I think that we're really missing guidance at that time to sort of say, well, look, you know, this is what good looks like, you know, and so if that's missing, then we become younger men who are still just trying to find our way and, you know, fucking up all the way through, you know, mm-hmm. which is part of the process, of course, you know, like that's part of our process as men, is to, you know, to stuff things up and make mistakes and then correct them. But we don't know quite how to correct those mistakes. You know, I know I can only speak from my own personal experiences that I, you know, made a whole bunch of mistakes, you know, burnt relationships and upset people and did things that I, you know, were not in integrity and weren't, you know, not things that I was proud of. But I didn't know how to turn them around. I didn't know how to recover from them. I didn't know how to, you know, mend those relationships. So I just left them, you know. And I left a bit of a wake in my way. And I think that, you know, when you get to that age of sort of 25 to 34, that's when, you know, men are becoming incredibly destructive. And they're becoming very destructive to themselves, but also to, you know, to the environment and to women and to other men around them, turning to drugs and to alcohol and, you know, It's not a great picture. I mean, I'm incredibly positive about what's possible, mm-hmm. But I'm clear that, you know, women went through a metamorphosis way before us, and they, you know, they moved through that, and we need to move through that too, mm-hmm. to a point where something has to shift, you know, for men. You know, we have to change, and I think men are starting to feel that. You know, that need to change, to live life a little bit differently, with more integrity, with more honor, with more love, with more compassion, mm-hmm. With more strength, with more direction. But we don't have the, we're not given, there's not a book around it. There's not like one single book, you know. So, so Dieter's book worked for me at some particular age, and there's other books that, you know, are fantastic, you know. I guess there's no one guidebook around this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just got to kind of traverse it and then explore it, you know, and then see where you fall off and then bring yourself back, which is what my men's group does for me.
Right. You know? So there's a lot of stuff in there. I'd love to go into all of it. But one specific thing you mentioned or touched on was the way that men relate to women.
Yep.
And for me, I've noticed that the way a man relates to women seems to be a litmus test of his, what I'm calling confidence, like his sense of true self as a man.
Sure.
And I'm very curious how your relationships with women have changed over the period that you've been involved in this men's group work. Like, what are some of the benefits that you've seen and the changes?
Well, certainly over the last 8 years, my men's group's gone from seeing me as a single man who actually was quite, you know, desperate to be in relationship and, have a family and all of that, but really like go from one kind of unsuccessful relationship to another. I always created very effective relationships with women.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, far more effective and successful relationships and friendships with women than I ever did with men when I was growing up. I found it much easier to relate to men than to women than I did to men. But when it came to like an intimate relationship, mm-hmm. I think it's more of the same thing. You know, like what would happen is I would the pattern for me was it was all good, and then when it wasn't good, I just had this for me it was just like, okay, well, that's it, you know, it's done, you know, this is not working.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, let's be friends, you know, like, okay, this is clearly not working. So there was clearly a resistance to moving through that discomfort, moving through our differences, you know, embracing that conflict in a healthy way to come to a place of love, you know. And I'm sure there's all sorts of reasons in my story and my background as to why that was the case. But that, you know, that left people, that left women, I think, feeling in a way kind of, I don't know. I guess it wasn't like I was hurting people all over the place. It was just like I wasn't standing strong in my relationships.
Mm.
I was actually pretty weak and actually quite I was going to say lecherous. I don't know if that's the right word, but like I was like a, you know, like I was sucky. I was really like, you know, like really needy.
Mm.
In relationship, you know, I wanted it to really work, mm-hmm. but I wasn't strong, you know, I was kind of, I was a bit all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of, I don't know if I answered your question, but.
Yeah. It's interesting what you say, because you mentioned the issue of conflict, which again is another kind of a test, I think, for a lot of men. And it's something that comes up in my men's group a lot. And has been a really big deal for me, just the complete avoidance of conflict rather than having the skills and the confidence and just the guts to actually stick with something when it's, you know, when it's gone through hard times and stay in and work through the conflict. So I see that as a really big theme amongst a lot of men that just don't know how to deal with, you know, a woman when they're really angry or when they're upset. Like, we tend to just bail.
Yeah,
and I get that women feel really abandoned when that happens.
Yeah, it's funny because I guess we talk about this idea of, you know, when she's the wind and she's kind of going all over the place, how do we stay grounded? How can we be the roots and really stay as still as possible so that she can kind of do her thing, mm-hmm. And not run. And I guess, you know, for me as well, you know, as I said, my men's group's taken me from that to a place where, you know, I've met my wife and, you know, I now, you know, I've been married for, you know, 3 years. I have 2 children. I have 2 more on the way. I'm clear that my capacity to be the man that I am for my wife is absolutely a reflection of the work that I've done with my men's group. You know, and they've supported me all the way through, in sometimes in very strong ways, to move through that pattern of, you know, avoiding conflict, and being needy in relationship to being strong and standing for what I want, but at the same time having a softness and a gentleness. You know, like I talk, you know, lots of people kind of describe it like this, this desire. Women want man with a, you know, a backbone, but also with heart. Mm-hmm. And that balance of backbone versus heart, you know, I think for most of my younger, for my, most of my youth, I was way too much heart, way too soft. You know, and I know there's plenty of other men that are like, you know, way too hard, way too much backbone. And so each of us has to find our way in that, you know, getting to that back, you know, that balance of, you know, just enough backbone and just enough heart. And with each woman, it's a different kind of balance because there's a different polarity with different women, you know. And I feel like I've, you know, come to a place where I've found a very beautiful and harmonious balance with my wife, and it's just really easy for me now, you know. There's a certain grace and ease with the way that we kind of work with each other. And it doesn't mean that we don't have challenges, mm-hmm. you know. We're about to have 4 children, so we're about to probably have our, you know, our third and fourth children. So, you know, like it's not going to be easy, but I'm very clear that, and I trust very much that, you know, I will, that we'll be okay, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm very clear that of all the structures that I have available to me and some amazing friends, I just don't think I'd be able to do it without my men's group, you know, just knowing that they're there, to bring me back. It's like my compass, you know, that we've been working together. Some of us, you know, obviously the group has changed and evolved, but you know, we've been together for 8 years. Uh-huh. And some of them are, you know, mates that I've been friends with for many, many years, before, you know, long before that. Mm. But these guys know me, you know, and they've got my back. Uh-huh. And they won't stand for anything less than what they know, you know, is possible for me.
Right. So how does that feel to have a group of men that are just totally on your side in a sense?
Wow.
Or is that, is that how you describe it?
Yeah, totally. But when I say they got my back, it doesn't mean – it's not that kind of like that – and I know you don't mean that either, but I just to clarify, like it's not that kind of I got your back no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm headed in one direction and that is not aligned with, you know, my purpose and my mission in life and who I say I want to be and who I am, then they don't have my back. I mean, they've got my back in the sense that they'll slap me around the head and say, hey, you headed in the wrong direction. That's got your back. You know? Mm-hmm. A good mate, and a good man in a men's group won't let you kind of head in the red. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do, mm-hmm. but they won't let it slip. You know? Yeah. They'll use the opportunity to say, hang on a second, this isn't, you're not aligned, you're out of integrity, you're out here, you're bullshitting yourself, you're bullshitting me.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that's a phenomenal, phenomenal opportunity. It's an incredible relationship. It's very, very unique. You know, it's very much akin to, I've got a kind of coaching background, so it's very akin to a coach kind of client relationship. Mm-hmm. Except there's no exchange of money here. It's just I've got your back, and I'm here for you because, you know, that's what I say, you know, because I said I would be, and because I love you, and because I honor you, and because I want you to be the greatest vision of your grandest self and nothing less.
Right, yeah. So Can I rewind? Like, this is great stuff. Can I rewind to something you mentioned before? Just you very briefly touched on relationships with fathers, and I'm wondering to what extent your relationship with the guys in your men's group is perhaps compensating or maybe giving you stuff that you would ideally have liked to get from your father, but just he didn't have to offer, or you weren't able to receive, or whatever went on there.
The full interview is available as part of the Confident Man program at confidentman.net/program.